best laid plans of mice and men are apt to gang astray. And I have always had these intentions, because I'm going to do one Sunday or the next, and something comes up, and the Lord kind of directs me a little bit different. And of course, this was the 4th of July weekend that is celebrated in many places. I just want to say something, and maybe I hit on this quite a bit, and I don't want to stand guilty before the Lord for not speaking the truth to people. Maybe folks say, well, you shouldn't talk about those things. You should just be silent. I'm not going to do that. Then you say, well, it's just a little crowd here. Who's going to hear you? I don't know who listens on the internet. I don't care. That's not my business. I know more folks listen than what I think do, and I hear from them sometimes. Not always happy with me either. In most conservative churches, and I would say even in most Sovereign Grace, Landmark, Baptist churches, young people grow up in the worship of the American military. I was in the United States Marine Corps for 8 years. I might know a little bit about what I'm speaking of, not as much as some folks. But we see church services turned over to the worship of the military. And today, it's almost every so-called patriotic day. I look at it as there's like Armed Forces Day. There's Memorial Day. There's Flag Day. There's Independence Day. There's Veterans Day. There's Armed Force. VE Day. There's VJ Day. There's D-Day. There's Pearl Harbor Day. And then there's all the birthdays of the various services. And then sometimes churches just have their own Military Appreciation Day. And you can add to that the worship of the military that we see in virtually every sporting event today across the country. Who do you think's paying for those flyovers, by the way? You know, that's coming out of my pocket. All at our expense. And so it's a little wonder that we lose so many of our youth to the U.S. Imperial Forces. And I can't be silent. Oh, I maybe can't change everybody's mind and hearts and thoughts. But I'm going to speak the truth as best as the Lord's allowed me to hear and understand it and to know it. But you know, they say, well, you just shouldn't talk about those things. You shouldn't say anything about that. You know, after all, they're fighting for our freedoms. How can anybody be so confused to believe that? How are they fighting for my freedoms got over there somehow? And the more they've been fighting, and just pick a date, say since 9/11, the more they've been fighting since 9/11, man, I've just enjoyed more and more freedom since then, haven't I? I've been restricted. We've been repressed. The tyranny has raised. Oh, they're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them over here. The more they fight them over here, the more they're over here attacking us. I don't want anybody to be able to say, and I'm not going to preach about this every week, but the Lord laid this on me again. I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, I never heard a word from that preacher at Landmark Baptist about, you know, serving in the military. You know, Ezekiel was called, and I think more and more in this day and age, everyone that's going to proclaim the scriptures is more and more into a prophetic ministry. And by that, I don't mean that I can foretell the future. I'm worse at that maybe than some. The word prophecy in scripture, or prophetic, was a forthtelling, more than a foretelling. It was proclaiming the thus saith the Lord of scripture. One of the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel, was, I think, in similar circumstances. And you can read in Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse 17, God called Ezekiel the son of man. He said, son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou hast given him not warning, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. And if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So the watchman was responsible to warn against evil doing. And so I address these issues to warn against iniquity that abounds. And besides being the 4th of July weekend, and I mentioned this in my blog as well this week, anybody pays any attention to it, but besides being the 4th of July weekend, another incident kind of set me to thinking on these things. There's one commentator I've read after for years. I often, put her columns in our paper, though I haven't always agreed with her, and sometimes I don't put her columns in our paper. I realize that she's not a thoroughgoing Confederate or a libertarian / paleoconservative, as I would maybe classify myself. Sometimes she exhibited what I would call neocon tendencies and blind Americanism. She even seemed to have a poorly thought out support of Donald Trump and the GOP. But I always considered her somewhat of a kindred spirit. Like many who are out there, and they've not quite arrived yet. They've not quite gotten it. And I don't claim to have arrived or gotten it either. But this past week, Patrice Lewis, in her column, celebrated her daughter's entry into the U.S. Navy. Her title was, "Our Daughter's Joining the Navy." And she went on to say, "My husband and I are proud to announce our 19-year-old daughter's recent career decision. She has enlisted in the Navy." Well, I'm not going to address all the details and specifics of her article. If you want, you could find it and read it. And I should note as well, despite all my own arguments and protestations, it looks like my own grandson may be joining the Marines. Fortunately, it's not a foregone conclusion yet, but I've done all I can to tell him. And I do all that I can to dissuade Christians and Southerners from joining the Empire's military. They are not, as the ads say, a global force for good. Where does that come from? They have been, at least in my lifetime and before, essentially a force for evil, for empire. And some folks will cite the case, in scripture, and I'll just touch a few of them, where John the Baptist, soldiers came to him. And John 3, verse 14 says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do?" Listen, he said, what he said. "And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." I'm not sure how that applied to the soldiers in John's day, but I know for sure that there's no one in the American military that can live under those constraints today. Brethren, the fact is, and I don't know any other way to say it, murder is murder, whether one is in a uniform or not. The modern American warfare uses, you know, drones and all these other things, and the results of untold civilian casualties, call it collateral damage, you know. But when it's your mother or your father or your sister or your brother, that's not collateral damage. And we wonder why they hate them. Oh, I hate us. I know it's because of our freedom. It's not because we're over there killing their kin, surely. As I consider that, I wonder if someone like Patrice would be proud, you know, if her daughter would serve on an aircraft carrier someday that manages to launch us all into a nuclear war. By continually prodding, you know, the Russian bear. By continually involving ourselves in things around the globe that are none of our business. You don't get to decide if you put on that uniform for the Empire, you know. I wonder if Patrice, and I won't go into the details, you can look them up yourself. I wonder if Patrice is at all aware of the unusually high incidence of sexual abuse and rape that take place in the military today. Now, why, I ask myself, would any Christian want their daughter to enlist in the American military? I can't answer that. I look at the example of Israel as God set forth there for the military of Israel, and there's a place. I understand the Southern martial traditions, but they're not to be satisfied in the American military. God gave instructions to Israel in raising their own forces, and he spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he said this in Numbers 1. Verse 2, it says, take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, listen, every male, by their poles. Didn't say every male and every female and everything that doesn't know what it is. There's every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward. All that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And so now it seems that America's just satisfied to send their daughters into the military. Even if it needs frontline service. I think it's evidence of the decadence of the American Empire and of the surrounding society at large. The U.S., to our shame, seems willing to accept combat deaths of mothers and daughters and sisters and wives. You know, I feel for these people. I pray for them. I see all these supposed to be heart-tugging stories in the newspapers and on the television about, you know, some military mother that's torn from their children and sent overseas. Well, particularly in this day and age, she signed on the line. That's what she signed up for. It's sad. And it's wrong. Priest is happy her daughter's going in the Navy. Does she know that the Navy now commemorates and celebrates Gay Pride Day every year? Officially, they do that. They don't, as far as I know, officially celebrate Confederate War, do they? And, you know, they ban the Christian holidays lest they offend someone. The chaplains in the services are gagged from the things they can say. And yet they openly celebrate Gay Pride Day. This week I read of a soldier that was ordered to attend transgender training. He was a member of a airborne unit in the U.S. Army. In spite of, he took it all the way up the chain of command of his religious objections. And they said, that don't matter. You're going to go learn about how natural it is to be transgender. And I ask, is that what we want for our daughters? Is that what we want for our sons? Because that's what you're going to get in the American military. First, it came to mind, I think, illustrates the situation and actually a passage we've looked at in the past, and I'm just going to look at it quickly. But in Romans 1, it speaks, you know, it's kind of the end of the road when people start doing the sort of things that are being done in America today. And folks, it doesn't bring God's judgment. Read Romans 1. That is God's judgment. Romans 1, I'll begin reading verse 21. Because then when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Because of their depravity, God turned them over. God gave them up. That was God's judgment. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You might call that STDs. You receive in yourself the recompense, the payback of the error that's appropriate. I mean, what did you expect for acting that way? God's saying. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I mean, we look about us today. We're not courting God's judgment. We're under God's judgment. That's what all these things are demonstrating. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, and without natural affection, placable, unmerciful. And then, verse 32 is kind of the kicker. And it relates to all these things we see about us today. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Have pleasure in them. They celebrate them. They look upon them with pride. And that's the big word today, pride. Right? Gay pride. LGBTQ, A, and I don't know, they keep adding letters. Pride. America's under the judgment of God, and yet we send our children off to serve in the American military. They just look at what's transpiring there, beside which I've already touched on. You know, the American military was, they say, I tell folks, you know, the American military, who do you think is going to come take your guns? They say, oh, that'll never happen. It already happened. It was the American military that was used in the confiscations of guns in the aftermath of Katrina. Worse things are coming. And some of those young kids that were in the streets after Katrina and helping to confiscate people's guns had already walked in the streets of the Middle East. It's interesting, they were less likely to confiscate people's guns over there than they were back in the States when they came home. And I believe sincerely that the day is coming that the American military is going to be used against folks like you and me. I remember telling one young man one time, a son of a friend of mine that was contemplating going in the Marine Corps, and I tried to discourage him as well. I says, you know, the time may come, you'll be walking down my driveway, and I'll have to be taking a bead on that Eagle, Globe, and Anchor that's on your chest. You know, beyond that, Miss Lewis holds out hopes that her daughter will be able to maintain her morality in the Navy. I pray that's true, but I know that it's highly unlikely and is tremendously difficult. And then, kind of, she says, and I don't understand the confusion of some folks today, but she says that her daughter's, quote, desire to serve her country is an honorable one. Her desire to serve her country is an honorable one. And I don't think she could be any more mistaken and misguided than to think that's honorable. That somehow she's serving, I don't know what her country is. She's certainly not serving her countrymen. I've had a discussion with a fellow the last couple of days going up through this morning. And he was trying to convince me when I tell him, I said, it's not my flag, it's not my country. I said, you know, I was in the U.S. in the Empire's forces for 8 years, and you know, I don't glory in that. I'd never do it again if I had the opportunity. And this fellow told me service is honorable regardless of what flag it's under. I couldn't understand that. He told me, well, he'd served in the American military and the Rhodesian Army and the South African Army, So, like, the service is honorable? Or is it the cause that makes the service honorable? They just didn't get it. It doesn't matter. As long as you serve, doesn't matter under what flag. I suppose his enemies were doing honorable service, too. I don't doubt some of them were misguided, that they were fooled, that they were even brainwashed. The Kennedy brothers, in one of their latest books, here's a quote from it. I think it's very true. Said, most of the men who wore the blue of the Union Army had no desire to destroy their state's right to run its own affairs. Regardless of what they desired, the result of the defeat of the South was the death of real state's rights. I mean, they could have intended all sorts of things. They could have all kinds of great intentions. I'll pray for Patrice's daughter. I'll pray for my grandson, should he join the Empire's Marine Corps. But I'll never be so deluded as to think that they're fighting for our freedoms, or that it's a good place for a young Christian or a young Southerner to go. By the grace of God, I plan to continue to speak the truth as the Lord's allowed me to understand it. I'll continue to plead, as I have in the past, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Imperial stormtroopers. The fact of the matter is, just look around you. Look at what's taking place in America today. Even with the great Republican Congress and the great Republican Emperor we now have, the Empire is our enemy. And its troops are not our friends. and they're not our defenders. Those in the U.S. military today are Imperial stormtroopers, whether they understand it or not. They're just like the Yankee invaders of the 1860s. They go and fight who they're told to go and fight, when they're told to go and fight. And they have no real connection to family and to home. It's my belief that the last American army to be engaged in an honorable warfare was the Confederate Army. They were fighting for their homeland. They were fighting for their homes. They were fighting for their family. They were fighting for their own property. They'd been invaded. They were much like the men that were addressed by Nehemiah as they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. Nehemiah says, "Therefore set I in the lower places around the wall, and in the higher places, I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." They were in their own homeland. They were in danger of being invaded by aliens. They knew that they were fighting for their own homes, for their own families. I was going to go over quickly, and I'll just put it up here, but here's the tombstone of a young American soldier, a young lady, that died in 2005. She was 19 years old. Her family was told that she was upset and took her own life with an M16. Her father, who had served in the military and was a medical doctor, and had served as a medical doctor for 25 years as a civilian, went over and retrieved her body. He found that there was a bullet hole in the very top of her head. That's a little bit difficult with an M16. Found out that she had what appeared to be a broken nose, bloody, and severe mouth damage, and other injuries coincident with rape. Dr. Johnson's doing all he can to bring some justice and the truth out, but he's being thwarted at every corner. You don't have to agree, but I want you to know this. I'm going to do all I can not to be a party to this. I won't fly the Empire's flag. I won't recite the Empire's oaths. I will not serve in the Empire's military. And I'll do all in my power to dissuade Christian and Southern youth from doing likewise, and particularly young females from serving in the Empire's military. Now, I realize a lot of congregations would be shocked and angered to hear the things that you heard this morning, but I'm not going to be silent. I cannot be silent. We're all accountable for our own actions. We're all answer to a thrice holy God. And that's my biggest concern, these young folks that are going off and doing these things at the behest of the Empire. When they stand before the throne in judgment, now being in a government-issued costume is not going to be a defense. (Clears throat) We've looked often at that passage in Romans 1, but it continues on in Romans 2. Romans 2:1 picks up, and it says this: "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." O man, not old man. O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Well, I look at the American military and American, and we accuse all these folks of things, and maybe they're guilty of it. But by and large, we're just as guilty. We're exporting terrorism around the globe. Is not the American military guilty of the same charges that they lay on their opponents? Wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same. Verse 2 says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things." The judgment of God is true. The motto of the Confederacy was Deo Vindici. God will vindicate, or it could be translated, God will judge. God is our judge. The judgment of God is according to truth. "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shall escape the judgment of God?" And that's my concern for the youth. Listen, wearing a uniform's not going to exonerate them before God. It didn't work at Nuremberg, and it won't work before the thrice holy God in heaven. And it would be negligence on my part to remain silent. I could say a lot more. I could raise a lot more issues. And Lord willing, I do plan to get on with some other things. Hopefully next week we'll get back to finishing my little excursion on Baptist perpetuity, and then eventually back to Galatians. That's my intent, anyway. The Lord will decide that. But this week I felt it imperative to address these important issues. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, God says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." Don't follow the multitude to evil. Proverbs, verse 1, and starting in verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as alive, alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk now not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood." Lest it be misunderstood, I am not a pacifist. You know, I stand with Nehemiah. I'll fight for my family, and for my home, for my wife, and my children, for my true country. But brother, the American military does little to none of that, in spite of what they try to convince us of. Oh, they're fighting for our freedoms. And I understand, again, that many that serve today And I pray for them. I earnestly do, particularly those I know. I understand many of them are confused. They're brainwashed. And they're misled. But I'm not going to be the one that misleads them by the grace of God. I don't intend to do that. And so I pray that we might take these thoughts to heart, because they may cost in the future. They may cost in the future. It's easy to say those things now. Well, some people don't like it, but it's easy to say these things now, but the time's coming, it'll cost you. It'll cost you to say, you can't have my daughters. You can't have my sons. Let's take our hymnals this morning. God's still on the throne. My atheist buddy accuses me of being negative and whatever, but I'm the ultimate optimist. I know God is on the throne, that he's working all things together for the good of his people. I don't always understand it all. And we have to get from where we are to where he's taking us. We have to go the way in between, and that's not always pleasant to the flesh. But he still rules and reigns. He still has his people. He will call them by his grace to himself, and he will bring them to himself. And that's my solace. I'm not discouraged by this, but I'm still going to speak the truth. Let's take our hymnals and turn to page number 392. Jesus never fails. 392. It will stand as we sing this closing hymn, if you're so inclined. Number 392, Jesus never fails.
Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still was and is for you, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. And man earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Though the sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong again, just remember he is near, and he will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust his everlasting power, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may
away, but Jesus never fails. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the privilege to gather as your people. Father, we pray for wisdom and discernment, for courage to stand in these troubled times in which we live. Perhaps, Lord, no more troubled than many others, but these are our times. Father, we pray for your people. Lord, we thank you for the assurance that we have of your love, for the assurance we have that you're working all things together for the good of your people. And even when we can't comprehend, we can trust. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Thanks for all that you brought out. Some we haven't seen for some time. We just pray your hand upon them, that you guide and direct their lives and their paths. Father, we thank you for your word that you've preserved. And we need not lean to our own understandings, but we receive a sure word from on high. Lord, we pray again for our brothers in the ministry and our sister churches, our sisters and our brothers in the Lord. Lord, we pray for those that need your healing hand. Father, we thank you that you are sovereign God, that you loved your people with an everlasting Son, by love, that you sent forth your Son to be our propitiation, to die in our stead, to suffer what we rightly deserved to suffer, and that he completed that which he determined to do, and it's finished. Lord, that there's nothing that we need add, for certainly there's nothing we could add. And it's in his precious name that we pray today. Amen.
Amen.